Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go. There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
With great power comes great responsibility.
And welcome back to Swinging Through Spider-Man, a Spider-Man podcast where me and my mate Bradley, we read through the amazing Spider-Man from the get-go for the very first time. So we went into this without knowing a thing. We are 42 issues in. Last time we had issue 41. And how did that go, Brad?
Oh, we had the Rhino storming through the whole of the borders of Mexico. It's essentially just Rhino fucking shit up. We think he may be a Russian spy.
Oh, he's definitely
a Russian spy.
That was clear to me.
He got his head... Somehow, some way, Spider-Man managed to beat him into the ground and lost consciousness. And currently being imprisoned by a row of McDonald's.
He got his head stuck like, you know, Men in Black 1, the sugar and water guy.
Oh, don't... We don't talk about him. You know, every time I watch MIB1, or every single fucking time, you know the bit where Jay's running after him and he fucking just jumps up onto the wall? Every time I jump, I know it's coming. I still jump.
Not having none of that, Roach Boy. But yo, this is a Spider-Man podcast, not a Men in Black podcast. And, we've had a real adventure so far, and it seems to just be getting wilder with each turn.
I fucking live for it.
We've got issue 42 now, mate. Shall we jump straight into it?
Yeah. Let's go for it.
I thought he was going to say no then. I thought, you have no reason to disagree. Why? Or would you be a roadblock right now?
I could never be a roadblock before Peter fucking rides into me with his new motorbike.
So issue 42... Mate, it begins with a Spider-Man.
Okay.
A Spider-Man. He's stealing a big bag of money.
I mean, I would like to say this is out of character for Spider-Man, but it's not.
Well, it is in character for Spider-Man because it is the Spider-Man, Peter Parker, stealing money or a bag from the bank.
Wait, hold on. He's stole it. He has literally gone out of his way to steal this and he's not like... punched a villain or someone stealing it and returning it. It's like legitimate.
From what the story in this opening page is showing us, Spider-Man, the Spider-Man, has stolen a bag from the bank and everyone is calling him a thief and this has been noticed.
Oh, God.
Okay. The police arrive. They can't believe it. The vault has been torn open with superhuman strength. Everyone's saying, Spider-Man, come in. Kicked off a scene. And robbed this bag from the bank.
I know Peter's hard up, but he's not this hard up.
No way. Not this. This is robbery.
He gets a motorbike and thinks he's a fucking Hell's Angel now.
The second he got on that, it's like, what a crime.
In fact, this is one thing I left out about the last issue, is that the very last panel on the last issue was just Peter just going, fuck off, Aunt May, and just like riding off into the sunset. Like, it's like a 50-seat.
He's a cowboy, bro.
On a steel horse he rides.
Yeah, I'm a cowboy.
I want it! Dead or alive!
No, he's stealing.
Oh.
He's a perfect stereotype of anyone who owned like a motorbike or an aggressive sounding vehicle in the 60s. But that is Peter Parker. He's stealing. He stole something. And everyone should have listened to J. Jonah Jameson all this time. That's what everyone's saying. Why didn't we listen to Jameson and the Daily Bugle newspaper who were painting Spider-Man? As you will all know, this is the zeitgeist. Everyone knows that the Daily Bugle shit on Spider-Man. Yeah. You don't have to read Spider-Man to know that.
It's like the whole, out of all the things that we know about Spider-Man through like the animated series and the TV and like the movies and that sort of thing, the one constant is the fact that J. Jonah Jameson is an asshat.
hates
him.
But Spider-Man has just disposed of this money bag by chucking it into New York's East River. He's got the money bag.
He's chucked it
in the river.
Straight in a drink.
And he says, that's the easy part of the day over. I've done the hard stuff. No, I've done the easy stuff. Now I've got to explain what's just happened. But he doesn't get a chance to because it's a fucking shitstorm.
Oh, well, of course it would. Everyone would be latching onto this story.
You can't just break into the bank, take the things in the bank, and go, this isn't what it looks like, because it is exactly what it looks like. You are robbing the bank.
Do you ever think about asking for the manager to just ask for the loan? Could you just make it out to the Spider-Man? No, I'm good for it.
One witness to this this robbery, this crime, this burglary, was Fred Foswell, the chief writer at the Daily Bugle, mate.
Geezer's everywhere, man.
He's got eyes everywhere. Patch has only got one eye everywhere, but Fred Foswell has got two. Patch being the alter ego, of course, of Fred Foswell. Foswell bursts into the Bugle after witnessing this, and he demands to see Jameson to get the story.
He's like, Jameson, I got a scoop for you.
Do I have the news for you, sir?
JJ, you gotta fucking love me.
Fred, he storms in. Betty Brant is there. She's been re-employed by the Bugle. You know, it's not so much as a surprise because they go through receptionists.
That job was available already. Let's put it that way. Although she'd probably come back at a cut rate.
That was her job and everyone else was just stepping in. You know what? They were temps. Even if they were permanent, they were temps until she came back. And Ned Leeds is there and they say, Fred, Jameson isn't here. He's actually seeing off his hero's son at JFK Airport. But Foswell says, I've got a big scoop. Jameson was right about Spidey all along. I've just seen him robbing a fucking bank.
Pretty odd.
Ned Leeds, Betty Brant, they can't believe that Spider-Man's actually publicly turned to crime. Like, this is unexpected.
Betty Brant should be able to... She should believe it, considering that she also believes that Spider-Man was the reason for her brother dying on a boat.
Oh, she just thinks Spider-Man's a dangerous shithead, not like a
bad guy. Oh, not a bad guy, just sort of like...
There's a difference between being a dangerous shithead and robbing a bank.
Yeah. One's
they're quite similar. They share a lot of interests.
One's done like really clumsily and the other one's done purely out of malice.
So we're going to head to JFK Airport, if you don't mind, Brad.
God, man. Ever since John came on board as an illustrator, these comics just move. They just jump about, man.
There is some fucking depth here.
Okay, hit me with it.
This is funny. This goes off the chains. Remember John? So John Jameson, J. Jonah Jameson's son.
The astronaut.
He's an astronaut. Yeah. He got infected with space spores, didn't he?
Yeah, that's how come he said that the agents were like following him about.
That was very much a loaded gun to set up this issue.
I said that at the time. I did tell you that was heavy, heavy plot points in a steaming bowl of
exposition.
Exposition. It weren't the exposition as much as foreshadowing.
You know in film they have the Chekhov's gun, and if you show a gun in Act One, it's got to go off by Act Three. Bullshit. But it seems to fucking happen in everything.
Yeah.
Like, the gun doesn't need to go off. It's like the Winchester rifle in Shaun of the Dead's the most famous.
It's so good, though.
But this is very much it, because those space spores, mate, fucking John at JFK, he collapses. He's like, oh, shit. And it gets worse. He leans on the pole and he crushes it. He's like, God. Then he leans on the marble fucking countertop and it collapses in the dream like,
Jesus Christ.
When his clothes are ripping, do you know American Werewolf in London when he's transforming?
It's like that, off him.
But he's not transforming, he's just smashing shit. And his muscles are getting bigger and his clothes are ripped. And he's like, I feel great. I feel fucking great. All this time, his dad is just staring at him.
I have no words. I have no words, especially because he's in red light. He just flopped into the Marvel. It looks like, you know, when you walk into something on a Professor game and it just sort of just crumbles.
He looks like he's drunk and he's just like collapsed on it, but it's broke underneath him. The best part of this whole thing is the final, when he kind of is like, oh, this is, I'm getting, I don't know what's happening to me, but I'm getting stronger. Tests it out by jumping. Geezer goes through a wall.
I mean, to be fair, if I felt like I was getting strong enough to punch a wall, you best believe I'm punching a wall.
This happens very fast.
Like four panels.
Yeah, it's his dad's, you know, these comics they're quite child friendly. What would have really happened was dick and balls and ass would be out.
Ah, you know it. The first thing he'd be doing was checking the size of his dick.
His dad's just like, can't believe it. He's just like, oh god.
Stunned silence.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to do. Remember he was under the Federal Guard because the Russians, they wanted in on him in general.
Yeah.
Didn't know that the space race shit, they wanted to know what was going on. So he's under Federal Guard. These agents, they rush in and they're like, this motherfucker's got to go to the lab. We got to test him.
I mean, you think.
And also they go, oh, also we got to keep him safe from the Russians.
As a side note. Like,
in the last, they're not going to fucking sent the rhino after him. The Russians sent the strongest person they have in their like bullpen to go fuck him up.
It's so fucking weird that he's just dressed as a huge rhino, though, and the fact that he ran all the way through the Mexican border.
Why did they put him in Mexico? He must have been doing a job in Mexico or something. They should have just like dropped him in like parish, like ODST in hand, sent the fuckers right. That'd have been so cool.
Just a massive rhino flying through the sky. I just have images in my head.
He doesn't have the cool tech. You know the revamped rhino in the new Spider-Man media, and he's got like a cool mechanical suit. This guy is just a fucking bloke in a rhino costume.
He does literally looks like he's wearing the skin of a rhino.
Well, the Russians, mate, they were anticipating that this would actually happen to Jameson.
Oh, we have already had a case of space steroids before. Oh, what was his name now? The guy with the cool white and purple suit.
Norbert Hooty Tooty. What,
Laluta?
Laluta,
yes.
I don't know his real name. Was it? It was Norbert Hooty Tooty Norton. Somewhat stupid.
Norton! I remember that bit.
White and purple costume. And he was very much sniffing up those old meteoroids and asteroids, weren't he?
Just people banging on the door outside. Just, give me a minute. I'm in here. God damn. I'm good now.
Really inhaling that. But they've got to keep John Jameson safe. Scientists in the United States now, so they've got him in under lab guard. This happens quickly. This moves fast, Brad. They've got him under guard in the
straight
lab.
Straight on us.
They say, John, your powers, mate, they are due to the space spores. No shit, right?
Yeah, of course. What? I actually want to know. I want to see like a flow chart of like, or a pie chart of percentage of heroes in Marvel. Right, the ones that get the powers from radioactivity, and the ones that get their powers from space. There seems to be no in between.
See, a lot of people say, you know, stories made. Recently, they've got a lot of similar themes, but that's the case for every story ever. Like in the Victorian books, are just writing about fairy dust and shit all the time. The 60s books are writing about space and Russians all the time. Like it's just a theme that runs through life. It's just space. In this era, it's space, mate.
It's part of the hero's journey, like traditional storytelling, where it's like you've got humdrum life, then something happens, then there's the call to action, and then the hero.
You sniff the space dust.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The classic, like, fourth step in the hero's journey.
So John Jameson, his powers are due to space spores. And what they've actually done, the powers, it's not necessarily superhuman strength. It's just relative strength because his body has now adjusted to gravity in the sense that on Jupiter, he might be a normal person. This is very much Dragon Ball Z, Brad. This is Dragon Ball Z science now. You know, like,
what was it when it went out? Was it Vegeta or Goku? He's just like, yes, 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 yes.
That's Piccolo.
Piccolo, that's the one. Piccolo.
So you know how logic in Dragon Ball Z defines, ignore the fact that if you're a Saiyan and you get the shit kicked out of it, you get stronger. If you do loads of push-ups in when gravity's heavy on you, you get stronger, which makes a bit of sense.
Yeah, well, guess it would.
That's John Jameson. John Jameson is adapted to the crushing gravity of another planet, right, so what, but Earth doesn't have that crushing gravity.
So what I'm hearing is that JJ is a Super Saiyan.
John Jameson.
Still JJ.
Don't call him JJ because I'm going to get confused.
Oh, fuck. Could you imagine JJ, like Jonah Jameson, right? Could you imagine him going Super Saiyan and his mustache turns blonde?
Oh, stop. So, John Jameson is essentially a Super Saiyan.
Okay, yeah, I'm with it.
That's it. That's my best explanation. He's grown beyond Earth's gravity. And when he's on this planet, he's practically superhuman. But on any other planet, he's a normal dickhead. But the side effect is this will probably kill him.
Oh, there's always a trade-off.
In real life, I think he'd have been stretched like fucking really long. I don't know. I don't know the physics of it all, Brad. But the nerds, the lab geeks, they contact Tony Stark. And they're like, mate, can you get your lads and lasses, can you get them to build a suit to keep this bloke alive?
Why should they give a fuck about him?
Because he's an American hero, Brad.
Oh, okay.
They shot him into space and he come back alive. Well, barely alive.
I'm a real American, fighting for the rights of every man.
That is John Jay. That is very suited to this. He's bursting with powder.
like he fucking puts himself through that wall just then. He does that thing where he does like the twirl of the hand and puts it up to his ear.
So he's got superhuman strength, but what if his body is still just as frail and he jumped through from the wall and his head was crushed? Like, he went head first and it was just a bloody
mess. He'd crush it with the force of his own jump.
His own chest, his own biceps and everything, his own muscles just destroyed.
Which would be even worse because, like, the weight of his body behind him, his newly found muscle would also crush into him into the wall. It'd be like a Coca-Cola can.
So, yeah, this suit allows him to function normally and he won't die due to the fact that he's got super strength.
So does this like kind of suppress his super strength, or
it just kind of keeps?
Does it give him?
The way I interpret it is like, you know, when the divers come up and they got the bends and they have to stay in that thing, the decompression.
That is like that.
The suit kind of keeps it all not fucking blowing his heart up.
Yeah, I'm with it.
The agents, they're gonna have to escort John though for the rest of his life because he's a fucking asset now, mate. He's not a person anymore. He's an asset.
I like how Captain America is out there fucking doing whatever the fuck he wants. Doesn't have any agents following him about. But this geezer has to be under lock and key.
Yeah, he could fucking take them. Let the Russians come at him.
Yeah, straight up.
He's an American hero. That's okay. That's part of the trade-off. J. Jonah Jameson, his dad, he's proud until the word superhero is mentioned in relation to John. He don't fucking like that.
Ooh, we don't like that.
He's been trying to pass off that not just Spider-Man, but all superheroes are massive dickheads. So.
Well, his son did just jump through a fucking wall at JFK.
Yeah, who's replacing that? That's the real victim of this is the fucking caretaker at JFK.
And the real winner is the contractor that has to put it together. They're kicking the rubble up. Ooh, I don't know, mate.
Looks like you're going to need a whole new terminal. Additional. Not to replace, it's additional. But J. Jonah Jameson, he's got a conflict in his head. And internally, he kind of agrees. He comes to terms with it and goes, well, John is really the first superhero. Like the first true superhero, not like that phony Fink Spider-Man.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Because he was a hero before he had powers. I kind of get that.
Minutes later, J. Jonah Jameson hears some good news. What do you think this could possibly be?
Is that Patch like, Jay, you're going to want to suck my dick?
It finally happened. He's got the proof he needs to fucking put the world to right, and nail Spider-Man for a crime. And Jay Jonas, Jay, I'm getting mixed up. John Jameson is just like, well, that's great, Dad. What is it? And he's like, it's fucking Spider-Man. We got him, boys.
Although the thing is, the way how they've drawn JJ's face in this, he doesn't look sure. Like, that's a face that you have to pull when, like, someone asks you to do something and you just got to agree to it. You're like, yeah, I'll do it.
But you got to think this is J. Jonah Jameson, and that's his ecstatic face.
Do you reckon that's his O face? Like, look at that and imagine that mustache turning blonde and also upwards.
He can light his own cigar with his power. Oh, just the aura. So, John says, well, Spider-Man's awesome, so I don't think Spider-Man's done the crime, Dad. I think someone's impersonating Spider-Man. J. Jonah Jameson isn't settling for this shit. He's got a chance to fucking nail Spider-Man. So he says, I've been right all this time, and since you've got fucking superpowers, mate, I want you, my large adult superpowered son, to go off and capture Spidey for the police. Go on.
Because that's worked beautifully the last 5 or 6 times. He's quested someone with that.
And now it's his own fucking son, who's quite frail. Like, he's really strong, but I reckon that ticker could pop at any time.
Wasn't there a character in Naruto that had, like, stupid, like, fragile bones, but used them as a weapon? Like, he was really powerful. Yeah. But, like, he was essentially just ready to die.
I think this is my own understanding of it. I don't know anything past this issue, but I reckon he's fucking proper weak.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Fucked him.
Like, one punch and he's gone.
Not necessarily that. It's just...
He can take the punch of a normal toll.
Yeah, this is taking its toll. The super strength has got that cost. And that's explained. It says he needs a suit. But I reckon it's still going to fuck him up.
That makes sense.
So, John Jameson, he's quite doubtful. He's like, I'm not going to go get the fucking Spider-Man. But J. Jonah Jameson hypes him up. Like, do you know when you walk in and you hype the dogs up?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's going, fucking, you can do a good boy. You can do it.
The thing that I love most about dogs is that they're always ready to partner.
Like, yeah, they're like, the whole body shaking, like, when you come in.
They could be like 0 to 100, and all it takes is, who is it? Who is it? And they're just like, oh no, who is it?
Yeah, these dads, they're like, who's a good boy? Who's a good boy for America? Who's a good boy for NASA?
I'm a good boy. I'm a good boy for America.
I'm a good boy for NASA, Daddy.
The thing is that this is kind of sad as well, because John is like, I got no beef with Spider-Man. Spider-Man saved me from an exploding, you know, rocket ship. I kind of like, I admire him.
Yeah, Spider-Man stopped me, your son, from being a Rice Krispie.
But now, like, I'm just a Tonk Rice Krispie square because I'm stronger.
And now I'm a huge, strong, big man, and you're telling me to go capture Spider-Man? And his dad is just fucking going, like, yeah, you're going to go out and perform. Like, and that's it, man. He sends him right out. He hypes him up and sends him off to get Spider-Man.
All right, that's one hell of a task.
So the agents who were meant to be guarding John, who have trusted J. Jonah Jameson with him, they lose their shit. They're like, he's a fucking federal asset, and you sent the prick out, this dumb adult man, really strong, to go and fucking batter Spider-Man.
The agents are like, oh God, we're going to be fired.
After the last time, they should be fired anyway.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Fucking idiots. So our attention actually switches to the Rhino now.
Fucking hell, this thing travels, man.
Yeah, so scientists have got this bloke, the Rhino, under lock and key since Spider-Man knocked him out. He's comatose, right? They've been trying for days to figure out his secret. They just don't get it. And there's this bloke on a fucking autopsy table, passed out in a Rhino suit. And they're just stabbing him with needles.
Just give him an x-ray, man.
It's so simple. But you would shoot him. They're trying to keep him comatose. You would shoot him.
We need him alive. Why?
You know that fucking that Saudi journalist, that journalist got fucked up for less.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they questioned him and sawed him up
right up
to bits for doing less. This geezer come to America and fucking kicked off. No. No way.
He racked up at least 20 grand's worth of McDonald's orders.
We call that damage. The damage to New York as well. Oof. And he's Russian.
Damage to his arteries, mate. That's the real problem.
So he's on this table and they're like prodding him with needles trying to keep him tranquilized, but the needles keep breaking, so they're like panicking, thinking, oh shit, when's he going
to
wake up?
Hey, Jimmy, why don't we just shoot him? Because I have bedroom furniture to move and I think we could use him.
you would beat him to death. You would kill him. You got to kill him.
Just one and done. Straight to the head. No, straight to the toenail face.
What they can't work out is he a rhino? Is he a man in a rhino suit? Or is the skin fused to him?
Oh my God, x-ray him.
Just try and peel it. Just get to peel it.
Is this a medical practice or is this someone's garage?
I don't know. They're really thinking. They're saying it's unthinkable. This macabre outfit, this will not give him the power. What is giving him the power? And all the while, the rhino's fucking coming too on the table.
I love that. The next panel says, it's fortunate he hasn't awakened yet. And he's just eyes open.
Ah, where is rhino? Waking slowly up.
He's just fucking eyes wide open, man. Ready for it. Teeth gritted.
He's pissed.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, Foggy Nelson.
Jesus Christ. Can we stay in one spot?
The law partner of Matt Murdock, the Daredevil, is drafted in by the US government to defend the rhino in court.
Okay.
They need the rhino to have a lawyer, and Matt Murdock was drafted in to do it. He can't do it.
Is this like Bridge of Spies, where it's just like, we need to give the Russian a lawyer to make it look as though we're going to give him a fair trial? Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah, but you know Matt Murdock is a stand-up guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he can't see that the man...
Please tell me that was a pun.
No, he actually can't see. But like, he can see the movement and he can't see that he's wearing a rhino. He can't see the clothes he's wearing. He can't see he's in a rhino suit.
Oh, yeah, but man can perform amazing trickery like no more.
But he can't see that the man's in a rhino suit unless he kind of, I don't know.
Just, rhino. Why did it call you rhino? Let me feel your face.
What kind of court is this? Where is Matt Murdock? Well, Brad, according to Daredevil issue 21...
Oh, fuck. So this is where DC got it from.
As a prisoner of the Owl following his interruption of the mock trial against Judge Lewis, Daredevil is about to be dropped down a long chasm in the Owl's base. However, Daredevil manages to escape and fight off the Owl's men. When a nearby volcano on the island threatens to erupt and destroy the Owl's base, his goons flee. However, the Owl unleashes his giant robot owl against Daredevil. However, during the battle, the danger of the volcano becomes too much and the owl flees, thinking Daredevil has lost. However, Daredevil manages to grab control of the robotic owl, save Judge Lewis, before figuring out how to fly them back to the US mainland.
I'm not going to lie, I think I'd rather read that.
That is fucking great, isn't that? That sounds like a hoot, Brad.
Oh!
Thus, poor old Foggy Nelson is left to defend the rhino in court.
Wait, hold on. Does it say all of that? I mean, it's in italics, so I'm guessing that's a quote.
That's the entire plot, Brad.
Mate, it puts down a whole fucking paragraph in there. Shit.
No, that's not. That's me. I've wrote
that. Oh!
I copied and pasted that off of Marvel Wiki, sorry.
Okay, sound.
I've read the issue.
But the thing is, with the way how Stan Lee writes these motherfuckers, I would not put it past him for him to just put in a straight paragraph like that.
But the problem is, if you do that, you lose everyone who's reading Spider-Man, because everyone who's reading Spider-Man is fucking off to read this insane Daredevil shit.
It does sound fucking epic.
That sounds so good. And then Foggy Nelson's left to defend the war criminal, the spy. The spy? Yes, he's a spy. The Rhino in court. Meanwhile, Brad.
Meanwhile.
The Rhino has broken out of the lab.
God damn it, we should have kept him in the McDonald's.
But he's knocked out with a stun gas, which is what the first thing they should have done instead of trying to stab him with needles.
Yeah, I can't.
It's so sad as well. Look at him trying to break free, like really clumsily and like big and awkward, and they just gas him out.
He just looks like a really fat toddler, just like, let me out.
They like, let him have it. Let him have it, boys. Fucking spraying at him.
So you're telling me that they had this available all this time? Like, they couldn't have just got a cop car running alongside him whilst he's on his fucking straight, like 1,000-mile journey from the fucking Mexican border to New York. They couldn't have just got a car next to him and just gassed him alongside him.
The thing is, he doesn't even try and harm them. He just tries to escape.
It's so sad. He doesn't even say anything.
This is fucking awful. Like, imagine that's like, you know, in 28 Days Later, the very first bit of the film when they're mistreating the animal.
Yeah.
This is that.
I feel like this.
If you can't see the man's face, he's a rhino and they're just fucking him up.
I feel like the next panel is going to be like, this is what happens to rhinos every day. If you plead £2 a month, we can stop these poachers.
Yeah, they're just going, like, fuck him up. Get the ivory. Cut his horn off. Spray him, get the ivory whilst we can, boys.
Oh, now I'm sad.
Over at Empire State University, Peter Parker has been caught speaking to his new motorbike. He's just like, I'll see you later, sweetie. And he's saying that to his motorbike, mate.
Oh, mate. I love my motorbike, this but I'd like, never fucking...
Like, no, I understand that, Brad, but he's had it a day.
Real question. And feel free to not answer it. Do we think he's put his dick in the exhaust?
We have a fucking doubt, Brad.
This makes me feel like a man.
Oh, I hate the giving of female names to objects because it's very possessive. It's very, very possessive. But no, he's given his motorbike a personality, a female personality, and he's talking to it. This is noticed by Gwen Stacy, Harry Osborn, and Flash Thompson.
Is it Ronda the Honda?
It's very close. This is noticed by his mates, Gwen Stacy, Harry Osborn, Flash Thompson. Gwen moves over, they take the piss out of him. Ha ha ha. Gwen invites Pete to a party, but he can't make it. You know, he's a big shot now because he's got a bike. But he can't make it.
Well,
I don't agree, but apparently he is. But he can't make it because he's got dinner arrangements, you know, the ones that are organised. The last issue with his aunt, the neighbours.
Yeah, finally going to see...
Mary Jane.
See Mary Jane.
Flash jokes about this and he moves on in on Gwen. He's like, oh, there's an opportunity. But she's fucking pissed off with them both. She don't like Flash. She don't like Pete. She leaves with Harry Osborn.
Flash very, very quickly forgot about Liz, didn't he?
Flash. In a flash. Pete rides off on his bike feeling a bit funny. He doesn't even think about his ex, Betty Brant, anymore. But he's feeling stuff for Gwen Stacy, and he don't know how to kind of deal with that. He's just upset. He's basically obsessed with her.
Oh, that's not good.
He's just thinking, the best thing for me is that my next date, Mary Jane Watson, she'll look like the Hulk, and I'll just fuck her off. Which is, that's so bad.
That's awful.
That is, man, awful.
Why are you going to play Bruce like that?
So, as Spider-Man, he goes to clear his head, swing around the city, but he's charged down by an angry, mad John Jameson.
Oh, hold on, you're going to have to describe this to me. How does this work?
Okay, look at the art. Spider-Man is swinging around, and John Jameson is just on a roof, screaming at him.
He's just standing on top of it, like fucking hunchback of Notre Dame.
That's the first time you see him, he's like...
Sanctuary!
And a fucking Spider-Man says, you're Colonel Jameson, Jonas, son, but what the fuck happened to you? He's like, don't fucking mind me. I want to speak to you. You're a fucking crook. He's literally his dad with superpowers now.
To be fair, I can kind of understand why John would be he'd be upset, because he did think Spider-Man was a stand-up guy.
This is what I'm saying. Fucking Spider-Man has done nothing, not one thing to explain this.
Nah, he's just like, peace out.
But fuck this, in the river, boy. And now fucking Super John is after him. Big John. After him. And he starts walloping Spider-Man, trying to bring him to justice.
Yeah, just fucking starts wailing on him. Gives him a twonk.
The best thing is Spider-Man tries taking the... You know, Spider-Man always tries taking the piss. John Jameson is powered by pure gravity, just punching him.
That's gotta hurt, man.
Spider-Man uses a web full of bricks to...
Where the fuck did he get the bricks from? They're on the rooftop. Okay, so
they're on the rooftop, but he gets the bricks and hits him with the bricks. And that doesn't end it. What ends it is when Spider-Man blinds him with web and body slams him into the ground and fucking runs off.
Wait. it's just as quickly as that, isn't it? He just like, hits him with the bricks, following him with the fucking web combo, and just suplexes him.
Yeah, he's off. He's gone.
He's gone.
He like presses him. He like picks him up and presses
him. He doesn't even say anything. He's not even sorry for it. He's just like, yep.
Yeah, you fucking think about what you've done.
Took out the trash.
Literally, that's actually what he says. You lie down and think about what you've done. But you ain't done the right thing, you fucking dickhead.
Got absolutely handled, man.
I love the fact that like John Jameson standing on the roof, his arms at his waist, waiting for Spider-Man the whole day, just pointing at him like from across the New York skyline.
The thing is, this fight could have lasted any longer than like 2 minutes either. It's literally like exchange of about 5 blows, and then he gets suplexed.
Yeah. I like how John's first instinct is just to batter Spider-Man. Like, draw him in, put the fists up and start whamming.
Oh, yeah. Really fucking laying into him.
We haven't explained John's costume as well. He's like, imagine an astronaut costume without the helmet, and it's green and yellow.
Yeah, I can't describe it anything better than that. He kind of looks like he could be a mascot for a butter company.
I really want him to have, like, a gorilla head. Like, he'd look like something from Beyond Good and Evil.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That'd be so good if he had like a gorilla or like wolf mask or something like that. Like a big fucking animal mask. I don't know why. But so Spidey body slams him into the floor, runs off, and he's all annoyed that he can't explain the payroll bag robbery thing.
Mate, use your words.
You had right. a chance.
Use your words.
You had a chance. He thinks about how fortunate he was to be there at the time, but it's a bad look. So what happened was, okay.
Settling.
He was at the bank. He jumped into costume when he heard a ticking noise and followed the ticking noise until he realised that the ticking noise was coming from a bag with the cash symbol, a dollar symbol on it, that was being placed into a vault. So he jumped into action, webbed the guards up, stole it, and chucked it into the river. I'm calling bullshit, Brad.
Yeah.
I'm calling, not bullshit on the story there, I'm calling bullshit on Spider-Man. I'm saying, just because a bag is ticking doesn't mean it's a bomb.
No, but at the same token, couldn't you just go up to the guards and be like, can you fuckers not hear the ticking?
Is that bag hot, mate? Because money shouldn't be hot.
It's just got wrote on it, like, not definitely not a bomb.
Oh, so
I'm sorry, but if he chucked it in the river... Like, if he did chuck it in the river, wouldn't he have gone off in said river and then there would have been a huge, like, water explosion? Like, he wouldn't have done any damage, but the water could have went up in a spout and everyone just would have been, oh, yeah, that makes sense now. Or he could have just swung back. He could have threw it in the river and literally gone back and gone, sorry about that, guys. I'll unweb you now.
So what happens is, you can see the art is... He gets changed, sprints into the vault, and everyone's saying, fucking stop right there, mate. Stop. And he's like, I've got no time to explain. Webs him up. And they're like, this is a bank robbery. And Spider-Man...
It's not even that. Like, Spider-Man's just like, sorry, friend. I got no time to explain.
If he thinks it's a bomb, the best place for it to be is in the fucking vault.
That's a good point. Can't hurt anyone.
Like, he takes it out into the streets of New York. If that blows up, he's not a fucking bank robber, Brad. He's a suicide bomber.
We already know he's a domestic terrorist.
This is proper terror. This is not proper, though. He's like, I'll take the bomb out of the vault and swing through New York with it.
The thing is that, like, I know that there's quite a few banks in New York that have, like, safety deposit boxes in them, in the vault. So you're talking about, like, priceless family heirlooms with, like, sentimental attachments and stuff.
Oh, you know why he's took the fucking bomb out of the vault, Brad? Because the bomb has been put into his fucking vault where his fucking money is. Just in case it doesn't blow up his damn money.
You know where it is put, mate? It's put in Northern Rock.
Collapsed. Those Icelandic banks, like, got dissolved. This money is liquid now. You can drink it up. It don't exist. But no, he takes the bag out, and that's why he stole the bag, because it was actually a bomb. But we don't know. He chucked it in the river, and that's it.
There was no explosion. Imagine if it was a bag full of money as well.
All in all, it's not a good look. So he does what he thinks he has to do, and he heads to the Daily Bugle to explain himself.
Oh, yeah, because Jonah Jameson's just going to be like, yeah, I'll take your side. I'll listen to you.
He says what he has to say, and J. Jonah Jameson just shouts at him. He just, where's my fucking son? For one. Like, if he's not here, you've done something to him. Spidey's like, well, I didn't rob anything. I'm going to go by. Jameson calls the bank, and the bank say, well, there's no money missing, mate, so it weren't really a robbery.
Okay.
It was a bomb.
It was a bomb.
Or some a fucking clock or something.
It's a priceless clock.
J. Jonah Jameson. He calls the bank. They tell him there's no money, but they don't know who he is. They're like, who are you? So they just told this random geezer. Like, this is GDPR breach.
Oh, mate, don't use those fucking four letters.
This is a data protection breach. Just as he says that, an enraged and engorged John Jameson bursts in and demands to know where Spider-Man is. Just
takes the door off its hinges, man.
His dad says, wait, John, there might not have been a fucking robbery after all. You know what I mean? I've just heard off the bank. But John doesn't give a shit. He's like, fucking tell me where he is. Like, he's raging.
Mate, he got his ass handed to him. But you know what? Props to JJ. Well, Triple J. That. Daddy J. Yeah, well, that's the way we'll do it from now on. Daddy J and J Jr. Right. Daddy J. He held his hands up and went, he may actually be innocent. Like,
he's not happy about saying it.
He does have a gulp in his throat as he's saying it. He's like, he may actually be
innocent. But his son I don't think it's the news. It's the news that's showing it. It's his son fucking smashing the door in, coming in and charging him down. It's like, I don't give a fuck anymore. I've just been beat up by Spider-Man. I'm going to beat the fucking piss out of him.
That's just a roid rage talking, son.
We've had it before. It's a family trait, but I know how to get out of this. You just got to calm down. Think about all the good things in life, like money and cigars.
He just needs to think about water and find his zen.
Flowing bank balances. Income. So John runs out onto the street, desperate to prove that he can beat Spider-Man and settle the score. The pair, they're both looking for each other, funnily enough. They bump into each other and have the scrap. The fight takes him to another rooftop where they clash, and they're both sent flying through a skylight into a power station where Spidey has an idea.
Ooh, I see what's coming.
Spider-Man gives him the biggest daddy punch I've ever seen. Both
two-handed.
Hands.
Two-handed. Big ol'.
He makes his hands into a hammer and hits John in the head with it.
Yeah. Big ol' hammer fist blow.
Sends him into an electromagnet.
Not a good idea.
That causes feedback in his suit, which knocks him out, destroying the space spores.
Oh, so now he's back to being normal?
You'd hope so. You'd fucking hope that's the least of his worries. Is he alive? And has his brain been damaged?
I mean,
Spidey runs off. I think he's okay. Spidey knows he's okay, so he's fucking off. He's just like, I had to disarm this situation, and that's the only way. Because his son was on a mad fucking rampage.
Good job that Peter is smart. Because imagine if he just fucking killed him.
the comic explains 10 minutes and 26 seconds later, exactly, after Spider-Man runs.
Because we know you're a stickler for accuracy.
Yeah, it's a comic about a Spider-Man. Oh, he's a fucking boy swinging. There's no accuracy here. The science is gone. So 10 minutes and 26 seconds after Spider-Man flees, the agents show up, along with Daddy J. Jonah Jameson, to check up on John Jameson, who's knocked out. They check his pulse, his blood pressure. It's gone. It's back to fucking normal. The spores are gone.
There's not 20 scientists in the lab just throwing the pocket protectors on the floor out of pure spite. Gosh darn it!
Well, the agent actually says something weird. He says, well, the guys in the lab will be fucking glad. They were convinced those spores were going to destroy the planet Earth. I'm like, why the fuck did they
get that under lock and key?
You're telling me twice. But they say he's gone back to normal. All you can imagine is just a faint from like John Jameson. It's not lying in the perfect position for them to be sad. Like the suit is like really baggy on him now as well.
Oh man. He just like had infinite power for like a day. And then just completely fucked up the wall when he versus Spider-Man.
J. Jonah Jameson is pissed. His son has been battered by fucking Spider-Man. And Spider-Man's a coward and ran off. So curse him and curse him forever.
Well, it's not like it was going to change anytime soon, was it?
Nope. And that ends that little story. That the story of the issue is over, but we've got the final segment, mate.
Man, this story's thick. Already, I'm 49 minutes.
Peter Parker wakes up the next day. It's Sunday morning. He's got one thing on his mind. He's got Gwen Stacy on his mind. It's his chill day. Sunday's his chill day. He'll go and call her. He'll see her.
Yeah, he's in his Sunday best than that.
But his aunt bursts into the room to wake him and tell him to get ready for dinner. You've got to meet Mary Jane, mate, and you ain't getting out of it.
Oh, it's finally.
And Pete has to, he has to actually act like he didn't forget. He's like, oh, yeah, okay. He fucking gets ready. He's bored. He can't stop thinking about Gwen.
I'm kind of worried. Like he was clearly thinking about Gwen in a certain way. And when Aunt May come through the door, he had to pull them sheets over real quickly. Like, why don't you fucking knock?
Aunt May charged in like the Kool-Aid man.
Oh yeah.
She was gone. It's dinner time. And she's gone in. She says, You gotta get fucking ready. We gotta go, you're late. They walk down the road together. He actually still can't take Gwen off his mind. Even when he's at the neighbor's house, he's gone. It's like, I can't get her out of my mind. Something tells me Gwen really likes me. I never actually have got to know her, but I need to get this Mary Jane ordeal over with. They're all sitting at the fucking table, the dinner table, waiting for Mary Jane. He's drifting off, but not for long. His attention is very much brought back to reality when Mary Jane Watson walks in. She's got like vibrant red hair, the movie star looks everyone was on about. She's the coolest person the comic book has ever introduced. She's like from another fucking planet, Brad.
Yeah, she's not wearing instantly like stupidly old clothes. Like,
no, she's like cool.
Yeah,
like ice cold, man. Pete don't know what the fuck has hit him, and that is best summed up when Mary Jane Watson says, face it, Tiger, you just hit the jackpot. And he's like, what the fuck?
She thinks very highly of herself.
She thinks very fucking highly of Pete.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ.
I was about to say, like, she doesn't know what the fuck's going on in Pete's life. And he's just like, you hit the jackpot. Like, hey, son, it's your lucky day.
Go for his mate, Harry Osborn. Go with Harry. Take Harry and run.
Do it.
Pete, no. But that is the end. There's Mary Jane, the coolest person we've met. And Pete's mind's blown. And that is a big issue for him.
Yeah, that was a massive big issue.
That's a huge, phenomenal issue. And there she is. Mary Jane Watson has been kept under lock and key for the entire run, it seems, of this comic book so far.
Yeah.
Has been revealed.
She must have popped up at like what, the fourth or fifth issue, and now
she was very early.
Yeah.
Even if it was the 10th, it was still 30 odd issues ago. And there she is, and now she's a factor in Peter Parker's life.
Just out and out. There it is.
there it is, Brad. It's over. It's done. And I think I have to finish saying that line that Mary Jane says is probably the coolest line I've ever... That is one of the most stunning comic book lines I've ever read. And I think Stan Lee, fucking props, mate. Because you nailed... Imagine you're reading that all the time and it's just like, there she is. She says the core line. Fucking... It's like dynamite.
Yeah, it's because it's such a juxtaposition from everything else that's said. That's lots.
I think when Stan was writing Mary Jane, do you ever read the story where people were trying to spike him with LSD because he was like notoriously anti-drugs?
No.
People were trying to spike him with fucking LSD.
I did not know this was a thing, and I'm so glad I found out.
They tried to do it to Steve Ditko and Stan Lee because everyone else is on drugs, but these fucking Steve Ditko, for one, didn't like him, and Stan Lee wouldn't touch him because he's a nice boy. But they tried to spy him. Imagine if that were. Imagine if they fucking.
All did. I'm saying is, cash your mind back a couple of issues ago. I think it was the annual with Doctor Strange.
Right. Okay.
Look, imagine how sick that artwork would have been if Ditko did do LSD. Like, just imagine how much more crazy it would have been.
It would have been something. But, mate, issue 42, I've got to say. That was pretty special.
Yeah, I'm happy with the way that one went as well.
We said that every fucking time. But I'm really impressed. Yeah. It's just they didn't have to do that. They set it up a bit awkwardly with the payroll bomb bag thing. Fuck it. That's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That is...
It's allowed to be stupid. Although I would still would have liked to have seen the bomb actually go off.
Underwater, like Shrek farting in the tub. That's it, though. Mary Jane Watson, now a factor in Pete's life. The Spider-Man stuff going okay.
But yeah.
The Rhino's still about. They're just like beating him up in the lab, which isn't going to impress him much.
It's like Rhino going up against the window like... Poor Rhino, man.
I
want the cheeseburger.
I do feel so sorry and bad for him. He's like a little lab rat. All been experimented on, but we'll see more of him next time, because the next one is the Rhino on the Rampage, and I'm not fucking surprised at all.
No,
but we meet Mary Jane a bit more. Well, we've met her, we get to know her, and you'll have to tune in next time to see how that goes, because we'll have issue 43, and you can find us at Spidey Podcast on Twitter, or email us swingingthroughspidey with an EY @gmail.com. If you've got any feedback or anything like that, that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, you can find us on Twitter at Spidey Podcast, and we always like hearing off people, don't we, Brad?
Yeah, live for it. Also, if you guys could leave us a review, any means necessary, Apple Podcasts, yeah. Or like Jammer said, get us on our Twitter. Always good to hear. Where else are we?
We're all over the shop. We're on Spotify, all the things you can find. I hope so. Stitcher, all that stuff, all that good stuff. Tune in. You can find us all over the shop.
Yep.
But I think that's it. That's it for now, Brad. We'll see you guys same Spidey time, same Spidey place next week.
Yep. We'll see you later.
See you soon, guys. Bye.